Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 27, the book of Psalms, and the 27th Psalm, Psalm 27. And we're going to read one verse, verse number 8, and make sure I'm good to go. And I want to thank Mrs. Martins and Ms. Finelli for being here tonight. And I would talk often to Dr. Martins about how a long time ago that him and my grandmother, they were in the same ministry. And I used to have talks with him about that, and that's a blessing. And we thank you for your faithfulness. And me and Ms. Finelli, we say hi every day when I go into the North Auditorium. So thank you. And Pastor King, thank you so much for being here. And the brother, the church planner, that's what I want to do. And I'm so thankful that you guys are here tonight. And it's an honor to have you. Psalm 27, we're going to read one verse, verse number 8. And we'll get right into things tonight. The Bible says in Psalm 27, in verse number 8, "When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." The path that will lead you to revival is the path that will lead you to God. Because we understand tonight that revival is nothing more than God's people getting closer to Him than they've ever been before. I do not believe that we do not see revival in our day because it is a lost cause for our generation. But I simply believe that we don't see revival because we're in the wrong location for revival. And I don't speak geographically tonight, I speak spiritually. For while there are many that would like to see God send a revival, they are so far from Him in their personal lives, and because they are so far from God, they are very far from revival. There are many Christians that fill pews and sit in churches, that wait in spiritual apathy and deadness for God to pour out revival, as if God would put revival into the life of a Christian like that. While all the while, God stands where He has always been, with arms wide open, ready to wrap them around His people and give them that sweet embrace of revival. But oftentimes, God finds Himself standing alone. And all that He lacks is someone that is just close enough for Him to pour out His spiritual blessings on. And oftentimes, there is no one. When we come to the passage of Scripture in the verse that we read tonight, we come to a conversation between God and His servant. And it's the passage before us tonight that presents us with the path to reach that embrace, that revival time with God. And it is before us a holy conversation between Jehovah God and the sweet psalmist of Israel. And it is within the confines of this exchange between God and David that you and I can find the path, that we can find the truth that God wants for us if we're going to reach revival. Because you see, once you get to God, you've gotten to revival. And so if we want to see revival tonight, we must get close to God. And we can get close to God if we allow ourselves to examine the passage of Scripture that's before us, the verse that we've just read. And as we examine it, I want to look at it simply in two parts, for it is within these two parts that we are presented with how we can get close to God. And if we get close to God, we will get close to revival. And as we go forward tonight, I want you to notice with me the first part of this conversation, and that is simply that there was a calling. The Bible says, "When thou saidest, seek ye my face." God looked down to David and began to have a conversation with him. One-on-one, God called out to David. Now, if you think about it, this calling coming from God directly to David was something that came right from God's heart as he's speaking to his servant. Now, we all know that God is, as he speaks to David, he issues him an invitation, and this invitation is to come. Now, we understand that God is in the invitation-giving business. In fact, there's an invitation that God issues to all mankind, every single human being that's ever born, and that invitation is the invitation to come to him in salvation. The Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Acts 17:30, "But God commandeth all men everywhere to repent." And it would be, I would be remiss as a preacher of the Word of God tonight if, even on the campus of a Bible college with a congregation of mostly Bible college students, if I didn't say to you today that if you're in the room and you've never responded to the invitation that God gives for salvation, then I would say that there's no better time than right now, there's no better day than today than to accept God's invitation for you for salvation. But I would also say tonight that while it is amazing that God gives an invitation to all mankind for salvation, there is another invitation that God gives. And it is an invitation that is given to every single person that's responded to the first. And it is that invitation that we read about tonight. When we read in Psalm 27 in verse number 8, we see God giving David an invitation that comes to you tonight, and that invitation is simply this: seek my face. God says to you and to me, you can be as close to me as you want to be to me. I am calling out to you tonight. I want you to be close to me. The Bible is very clear that this is the desire of God. We think of the passage of Scripture that we observe here in Student Revival. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Deuteronomy 4:29 says this: but if thou from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Listen to Jeremiah 29:13: and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. It perhaps isn't stated any more clearly in all the word of God than James 4 in verse number 8, when the Bible very simply says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. It is the desire of God Almighty for you and I to get close to him, because he wants to pour out his blessing. He wants to pour out his power, but his power is with him, and he wants us to get close to him. This is the invitation he issues. Now, if you notice the calling and you look at it specifically, there's some interesting things about it that I think will challenge us tonight as we notice them closely. First of all, I want you to notice that this call, and these aren't going to come up on the screen, but I just want you to focus in on me tonight. This call was insisting for passion. This is what God said to him: I want you to seek me. Now, David knew what God was talking about when he said that, because seek is a very interesting word. Seek literally means, he said, I want you to strive to secure, or I want you to desire or to demand. That's what the word seek means. So when God looked at David and said, seek me, David knew right away that God wasn't asking him for like his half-hearted interest. But when God looked at him and said, I want you to seek me, he said, listen, I want you to want me. I want you to come to me. I want you to have a desire deep down in your soul to be close to me so that I can give you revival. When he said seek, David knew exactly what God was talking about. Just recently, I started reading a book that Pastor Chapel recommended. And if some of you have heard about this, you know the 10 questions help diagnose your spiritual health. And I just recently began reading that. And it was fascinating to me that the very first question that was asked was this: do you have a thirst for God? I think about how David said in Psalm chapter number 42, verses 1 and 2, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? But Matthew 5 and verse number 6 says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I wonder tonight, where are the Christians that want God? Where are the Christians that have a desire deep down inside their heart to get to know God? And God looked at David and said, I want you to seek me. I don't want you to just think about it. I don't want you to just kind of do it half-heartedly. I don't want you to just do it in routine. But what I really want for you is to seek me. I want you to come after me. I want you to want me. And God said, I want some passion from you. And I wonder where the Bible college students are who have an unquenchable thirst for God, an unsatisfiable hunger for God. You have a desire for God that just cannot be contented. Where are the Christians that want to know God? This call was insisting on passion. But not only that, what else is interesting about this passage of Scripture is that this was very intensely personal. And this is important. He said, seek ye my face. God looked right at David and said, I want you to look for me. God didn't point to a nation. God didn't point to a church. God didn't point to a congregation or a family. Listen, God looked at David and said, you seek me. I want you to look for me. Brethren, it was a great day in my life when I decided that I was not going to live off the faith of my parents, but that I was going to decide that I was going to go forward for God because God wanted to do something in my life. And it will be a great day for you when you decide that, you know what, I'm not just going to go off of what everybody else is doing, but I am going to seek God because God is calling for me individually. We often hear Dr. Goetz say that revival is nothing more than God's finger pointed at you. And what you need to grasp tonight is that God is not looking at this Bible college. He's not looking in your pew right now. But right now, God is looking at you and says, you seek me. Regardless of what everybody else is doing around you, regardless of whether or not everybody else is seeking me, I want you to seek me. I think about all throughout the Scripture, as God spoke specifically to individual men in the Bible, I think about how he talked to Moses, he talked to Joshua, he talked to David, he talked to Gideon. God spoke to those men individually and said, I have something that I want you to do. And the precedent is very clear throughout Scripture. God speaks to individuals and wants them to seek him individually, regardless of what is going on around them. And I wonder where the Christians are that will say, you know what? Though none go with me, still I will follow. Where are the Christians who will say, God wants me to go forward, and you know what? I don't care what my roommates are going to do, and it doesn't bother me what everybody else is going to do around me, but you know what? God wants me to seek him, and you know what? If you want to come along with me, that's great, but I'm going to go because God is calling to me. Where are the Christians like Joshua that will stand up and say, whether you want to serve the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Where are the Christians like Paul who got to a place in his life where he said the reason that he denounced all the things that he had accomplished up until that point was so that I may know him. I want to know him. Church at Philippi, I really want you to know him. And you know what? I'd really like for the other churches that I've established to know him. But you want to know what I want? I want to know God for myself. And that's where I'm going. And if you want to come, follow my faith. So it was intensely personal. But as you continue to look at it, it was very interestingly particular. God said, seek ye my face. My face. Isaiah 45, 5 and 6. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee. Though thou hast not known me, thou may know me from rising of the sun and from the west. And from there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Colossians 1, 28. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Matthew 6 and verse number 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Not a lot of discussion is needed. I think the Bible is pretty clear. God looked at David and said, I want you to seek me. And in a world where there's lots of faces that are vying for your attention, David, in a world where there's lots of voices that are trying to get your attention, I want you to look at me because I, the Lord, am a jealous God. My name is jealous. I am jealous. I want you to look for me. And I wonder today, is there a Christian in the room that needs to remember that thou shalt have no other gods before him? God does not want to be at the top of your list. He wants to be the center of your life, around which everything else revolves. God doesn't want to sit in the driver's seat and give you directions. He wants the keys. And the best place for you would probably be the trunk. God wants the lead. He wants us to seek his face. Seek my face. When God called upon Abraham to offer his son Isaac on an altar, God was not testing anything other than this. He wanted to see that if there was anything in Abraham's life that meant more to him than God. And the son that he loved so much, he willingly took up to that mountain and laid. And as his hand raised up with that knife, God saw that here was a man that was saying with his arm raised above his son, there is nothing more important to me than God. There is nothing more important to me than obeying him. He is my goal. He is my focus. And I wonder, what in your life needs a knife raised to it tonight? What in your life is taking the place of God? Because God looks at you and he calls. And when he calls, it's insisting on passion. You've got to want him. And he's very personal. He's calling to you. But what he wants tonight is very particular. He wants you to seek him, and he wants you to get everything else out. There's a calling. Up until this point, everybody in the room gets what we've read. Everybody in the room gets what we've seen. But what we're about to see is David's response. See, God made a request, and David responded. God pleaded, and so David pursued. The question you have to answer tonight is this. God is calling everyone. What will your answer be? David's answer was this. In this passage, we see that there was a calling, but that there was a consecrating. David literally listened to God, he heard the voice of God, and he followed forward. Now, David's consecration was not merely lip service. This was genuine consecration from David to God. And there are some interesting characteristics about this consecration that I want you to notice with me. Now, this is something that'll help you. And this something helped me greatly. Notice in verse number 8, the Bible says this. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Now, what's the significance of that? You say, what's the big deal? I happen to find it interesting that the Bible doesn't say, David said, I will seek thy face. Or it doesn't say, David said, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, I said, thy face, Lord, will I seek. But I find it very interesting that the Bible specifically says that he responded from his heart. Why do I find that to be interesting? Because what I see there is that David had allowed what God had said to him in this moment of conversation, when God looked at him and spoke to him directly, what I see is that David had allowed what God had said to him to reach all the way down to the very depths of his heart. And what happened in David's life was God spoke to him, and it made it all the way to where it counts, his heart. Oftentimes, when God speaks or when his word is given, it reaches many a Christian's head. But it doesn't get very far to the heart. Now you'll notice David's response was this: when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. David said, I will. I will. That's what happens when it reaches your heart. When the word of God reaches your head, you often hear Christians saying things like this: I know. I know. When a preacher stands up like we heard tonight, and two preachers stand up and say, man, America needs revival, and God is looking for some Christians who will go out and be a lighthouse for him, and the Christian that allows the word of God tonight to reach your head, you'll sit there and go, I know I need to be a witness. I know I need to pray more. I know I need to be a better Christian. I know. But it's the Christian that will allow the word of God to penetrate deep down into their heart when you'll pull away all this blocking God's word from reaching in, where it won't be stony ground, but it'll be ground upon which the word of God can take deep root. And if there's a Christian in the room that will allow the word of God to reach your heart instead of reaching your head, you'll come down to this altar tonight and you won't say, God, I know you want something for me. You'll say, God, whatever you want, I will do it. That's the Christian that allows the word of God to reach the heart instead of the head. And the call, the consecration from David was a consecration that involved an inside penetration. It made it to the heart. But there was not only that interesting about this consecration. I think about how this consecration was not only did it, there was an inside penetration, but we also see that there was an invoked penitence from David. The Bible says this. He said, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Even in his response, you see a man that is dependent upon God. Verse number 9 says this, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. David said, listen, I can't do it without you, God. I have to have you. And this consecration brought David to a place in his life where he was completely dependent upon him. We don't have time, but we could go back to verses 1 and 2 and 3, where he talked about all the things that compassed about him, all the things that were around him, all the things that were trying to come at him. But the Bible says that he put his faith and trust in God. He leaned completely on God. He had lost dependence on himself. The Bible is teaching us that David, when he consecrated to the call of God, had gotten to a place in his life where he was down on his knees and he was saying, God, I need you. Lord, I'll seek you because I need you. 4 times throughout the Psalms, David made this very humbling statement about himself. I am poor and needy. And it is a great day in the life of the Christian who comes to the point where you realize that you and I need God. Oh, what a wonderful thought it is. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But the same Bible says, without me, you can do nothing. We see that it invokes some penitence. But there's something else that's important. And finally, it involves a little bit of persistence. David said, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to seek. We read in verses 1 and 2 about how he had been faced with many trials, but he put his trust in the Lord, and he had waited on the Lord, and he leaned on him. I think about verse number 10 when the Bible says something like this, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Verse number 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What was David saying? You know what? I want to do right. I'm going to go forward. But you know what? It's clear from the scriptures it's going to take some persistence. Some will come forward tonight and say, you know what, man, this is revival time. We're going to go forward. We're going to seek God with everything we've got. We're going to go, that's good. But I promise you, the moment you walk out of here, the devil will do everything he can to get you to forget about the decisions that you've made. And what you're going to need to do is determine and build up some persistence in your life. You're going to get to a place where you develop in deep down inside of you that even though it might get hard and even though it might get difficult and no matter what may come your way, you are going to seek the Lord, and there is nothing that is going to stop you. And there's a man in the room tonight, you have some deep financial burdens and you wonder how you're even going to make it past midterms. And you say, man, God, I want to keep serving you and I've been trying to go forward, but God, it just doesn't seem like I can get over this hurdle. Can I say to you today, keep seeking God's face, stay persistent and move forward. There's an attribute of Jesus that is very often overlooked, and that attribute was that our Savior had incredible endurance. The Bible says that when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and as sweat drops of blood run down his face, right before as he continued forward, the Bible says he went a little further. The Bible tells us In Hebrews chapter number, the chapter escapes me, but the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. God's given us an example of great endurance to help us in the times of difficulty. He was going forward and doing what he knew God wanted him to do. And you'll go forward and do what you know God wants you to do. And it might get hard and it might get difficult. And you might have some things come into your life that you just don't understand, but can I say to you today that consecration to God, to seek him with all your heart and soul, to get as close to him as you can so you can see revival, must come with persistence, a determination that regardless of what comes, you're going to put your faith and trust in God. And I don't know what it is in your life, but don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything stop you from getting as close to God as you can, because I promise you, the devil is working and fighting. Why? Because he knows that the closer you get to God, the closer you're getting to revival. But the Bible is clear that God wants you, and he wants to give you revival, and he wants to make a difference in your life. Then the only question that we have to ask ourselves is this: what do you want? What do I want? Let's pray.